Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live. And as you heard the fellas from In the Loop, it is live here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We are here in Cypress. Come on out right off US 290. Come on out and hang out with us as we do a little Thirsty Thursday. Come and make a bad decision. It's a little cooler than normal. It ain't cool, but it's a little cooler than normal out here. Well, this is a good place to come in and get you some good food, get you a drink. Or several drinks, and do like what we saw last week. I promise you, Tyler, I am certain we witnessed an affair occur as we were out last week, and they looked like they had a great time. when you start off and then double back in the 5 o'clock hour, you start there, and then you double back in the 5 o'clock hour. I know what time it is, and you leave in different vehicles.
It's business time.
It's beautiful. So come on out here and make a bad decision.
Yeah, see if anybody out there can one up that AT. I mean, they're clearly a couple at the bar. They got beers. Each one of them has a beer and a shot, mm-hmm. and they're kind of trading off. Have a few more drinks. They get up, they bounce, they leave, and we both talked about it in the break. Like, what you think? Well, I said, I know what's going on. That's a little nooner right there, boys.
Having
early
a good
evening.
Time.
And I'll be damned if an hour later they didn't circle back and come back and sit right back in them same
Stumble
seats
right
and get back
in
to drinking.
Sometimes
Stumble
you got to
right
get you some in. Seconds, man.
I'm telling you.
And Ron was right. I mean, I got to believe it was an affair because they did go outside.
Absolutely.
And when they went there, that was not a I'll see you at home, babe, exchange before they went their separate ways.
That was an ass palming.
No, that was I hope nobody finds out what we just did because now my –
parked far enough away from each other.
Now I realize what we're up to. Earlier, I was thinking about one thing. I had one thing on my mind, and boy, they were hard.
They took care of business. Yeah. I got to believe it. Yeah. So come on out here. Moral mm-hmm. of the story,
it's
come
it.
Make a bad decision out here on a Thirsty Thursday. Get on out here. I love it. Boy, we make people get nasty right here on the Drive, and it's all good. But make your way on out here again. We never come empty-handed. Got some potential prizes for you to win. All you got to do if you're in the building is not even sign your name, pull a ticket and put it in the raffle box. You got a chance to win gift card to HEB, get some nice lawn chairs courtesy of Bud Light that you can win as well. And you get to hang out with us and get you some good food and drink here from Buffalo Wild Wings. So come on out and hang with us. As we get going on a Thirsty Thursday, a lot to get to here. I want to give a shout-out off the top. Congratulations to the Rockets as they got a dub last night against the Raptors. And they are a scary bunch, fellas. That is a scary group. They've got, as you talk about a lot in football, when we talk about teams like the Lions and teams like the Packers and teams like the Chiefs are starting to become again. They got a lot of answers.
Let's go, Rocket.
They got a lot of answers. And not only do they have a lot of answers, but they also have a couple of dudes that, for the most part, you know, unless Wimby's out there or something. But for the most part, can then, when it all breaks down, go get their own. But, I mean, this ain't a, all right, boy, we got to have two guys every night to go to have a chance. No, they can have KD, who had 30-plus again. They can have Şengün, who can go. They can have Thompson, who can go. They can have Smith, who had a big game last night, who can go. Right, Tari Eason had 22 in their last game. Reed Shepherd is coming and is capable. They got a lot of answers, yeah. And it was on full display yesterday.
Last night was I didn't watch the entire game, but it seems like every time I stepped in on the Rockets game, Jabari Smith Jr. was doing something, whether he's knocking down threes. Hell, Ron, at one point he's bringing the ball down the floor and he's handling it at the top of the key. I don't know if that was by design. I didn't notice it the whole game, but I don't know how much of it was by design and how much of it wasn't. But last night was a good one for me. You know I'm a big fan of Jabari Smith, and it seems like
– Yeah, he let it go, boy.
I mean, obviously, if you look at the box score, he 25 points. I think he was 4 of 8 from three. I mean, but if you watch the game, I know in spurts as I did, it seemed like Jabari Smith was the guy last night that was maybe given the reins a bit at times and allowed to do more than you typically
– Especially early when – like at some point, you knew that whole game, you could watch and see, all right – They're gonna pull away from them at some point.
Yeah,
you just see they're different. But when it was still in doubt early, it was Smith. You could argue was the best player out there.
Yeah. So that's I like to see that. That's the one to me. To your point, man, with the Rockets of like the answers that they have on any given night. And you said it. You said it perfectly. Eason a couple of nights ago did his thing. Jabari did it here. I mean, the other guys are steady Eddie and you know getting. I mean, Amen Thompson didn't score a boatload, but when you look across him rebounds and assists, he had a hell of a night as well. So
I mean, 18, 9, and 7.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man.
I mean, that's you'll take that all day long. And I mean, and Durant his 31 is easy. I mean,
it's so easy.
Like he is literally. At many points, the guy you look up and think, "Damn, when did he get to 27?"
Well, it's Harden-esque. I mean, around here, that's the only guy that we've seen in a Rockets uniform recently of in the recent past that could fill it up like that. I mean, it just seems like night in, night out. I mean, it's an effort. Effortlessly, he's going to get to low 20s, mid 20s on a good night. He's going to get to 30s, and hell, he may touch half a 100 from time to time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun to be able to turn the tube on random weekday nights, catch the Rockets, and be not just, hey, I'm going to sit down because I'm a Rocket fan, but like, nah, let me sit down and watch.
They KD come in waves. Yeah, they come in waves. Şengün can have an off night, and they still can roll. I understand. I see the text already. It was the Raptors. I know it was the Raptors, and they did what they needed to do. In the third quarter, they went ahead and pulled away from them Jokers and did what they needed to do. But good game. They got an off game, off day, and then they'll take on the Celtics still on the East Coast. But shout out to the Rockets. That was impressive just what they can do from an offensive perspective. With the Texans here, Clint, I do want to give what's being reported from an injury standpoint up to this point. This is the second practice in a row, and this bodes well for Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. They were out there. I know yesterday when we carried it live right here from D'Amico, he said that Nico was still currently in the concussion protocol. They looked that he would get off of that and out of that here in the next couple of days. Well, he's out there again, him and Christian Kirk, which is a great sign. The other other players, Dylan Horton, D'Nico Autry, they both missed yesterday on that D-line. They return to practice. And then here's the one you got to kind of look at, and maybe you're looking at this a little bit different than you did yesterday, Clint, and that is Dalton Schultz got a knee and a shoulder issue. He didn't practice for a second straight day, but remember, the way D'Amico Ryans kind of phrased it yesterday, it felt like he was pretty confident that he expects him to be back later this week. Well, he has missed the two heavy practices. So that is the one that's most concerning right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dalton Schultz situation is the most concerning one. Without D'Amico Ryan's comments yesterday, I'd be concerned. But given that Dalton is that vet, Dalton, and he's played a brand of ball that deserves some rest. They are into giving rest days. They gave Lakin Tomlinson one yesterday. So when you look at the situation, and it wasn't like he was carried off the field, you look at the situation with D'Amico's comments, I'll be shocked if Dalton Schultz isn't on the field Sunday.
Let's hope so. This just makes it a little bit more And again, and just like we did yesterday, Clint, tomorrow will say a lot, right? If he's not in the walk, kind of the walkthrough, and they don't even feel good about him going out there to that, then I'd almost lean towards him not playing if he's a non-participant in practice tomorrow. And as we talked about yesterday, Clint, Dalton Schultz, they're going to need this defense. This is one of the best defenses in football. This is one of the defenses where you're like, hey, they can potentially match, you know, something that the Texans are able to do. And I would say they need all their weapons, and Dalton Schultz has been one of their big weapons.
Big weapon and an answer. You know, I mean, that's the thing here is this is the biggest challenge that the Texans have faced. I would argue that this is, especially with the defensive front, this is as big, if not bigger, than the challenge that they faced against Seattle. You know, Seattle had some of that. They played a lot of those you know, TE stunts up front, a lot of the pick and roll type stuff that these defenses do nowadays. You know, that's been a problem for the Texans. And then when you look at what Denver does, they just want to load up the line of scrimmage and make it hard for you to identify who the hell's coming and confuse you, which again is been an issue with the Texans. And so a similar I think battle that the Texans are going to have this year, but obviously for different reasons.
All right, as we continue to go through here, we'll speak to our guy Woody Marks. Woody Marks is potentially going to join us coming up here in the next few minutes. He has had a great start to the year. Let's hear from the rookie.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Running back coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, and we are live here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We are in Cypress off 290, excuse me. Come on out here and make your way. Plenty of prizes, even more prizes that we are trying to figure out the details on that I promise you don't want to miss. We will announce that when we have more details coming soon. But I promise you will want to get out here to have a chance to win those potential prizes. Remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So let's head to the phone lines right now, and nobody better to get a little football talk going than maybe the most exciting player that the Texans have on their team right now, Woody Marks. And I'm telling you, each and every week, we hear it from the people. They want to see you get more involved in the game, more touches. And it looks like you are really starting to find your way in the league right now.
Yes. Nice to meet you guys. I'm just really grateful to be on this team. Grateful that I get to get the touches and the team trusts me. Just keep gaining trust week by week.
Woody, what's your favorite part of the game, man? Catching a rock out of the backfield or running it downhill?
I'll say running it downhill. Kind of get to punish a lot of guys. I always get hit, so I want to bring a little contact to them.
Hey, Woody, it was interesting coming off the bye week. It seemed like the offense struggled a bit against Seattle, but then last week, it may have been the smoothest the offense had looked, the best performance potentially of the offense. What was the difference from the Seattle game coming out of the bye Monday night as opposed to Sunday against the 49ers?
I would say everybody just locking in on the details they got to do, coming from the quarterback to the receiver to the O-line to the running back, just locking in, focusing on what you got to do, and then not trying to do another man's job, just trusting in your brothers that they got the preparation throughout the week. And I'll say we had the best preparation throughout the week, and it led over to the game. We played like it.
Woody, what goes into that? It seems like with this year's team, it's pretty repetitive – from players and coaches that, hey, man, just players just need to do what they're coached to do. Or, hey, man, guys need to be locked in. Like, that seems like a kind of a – I mean, it seems like at this level with this particular organization, that shouldn't be such – that should be taken care of more often. Why is that constantly a thought of something that needs to be done?
I'll say it's a large playbook. You got different things coming in. It's a new scheme for different guys. And I say you just got to go on yourself, by yourself, and just study yourself. We're going to make mistakes, but not just repetitive mistakes. Like, you keep going over and over. And nobody's perfect, but we need to just tone it down. Like, from the flags and stuff, we tone that down. Not many flags ever thrown. You'll get a couple flags, but just how you react to it. I'll say just keep the same energy and not letting it go on to the next play, just playing the next play. I'll say we had a lot of mistakes. Somebody mess up, and then it just carry on.
Woody Marks, running back, rookie running back of the Houston Texans, joins the drive right here on Sports Radio 610. I think one of the things that we have really noticed, and I would say probably around the Tennessee game for us, I'm not sure what it was for you. It seems like you have gotten really comfortable in the NFL game. When do you feel the moment was that you felt really comfortable and you stopped maybe thinking and more playing?
I'd say the second game. Second game we played, I would say I was a little bit fast, not being patient a little bit. And then just week by week, I feel like I've been getting patient. Just going back to, like, how patient I was in college, not letting the games beat me up and making me miss gaps or something. But I say that mostly in the run game. I'm in the passing game, picking up protections. It's been the same, but in the run game, just being patient.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the pass game and protections and things of that nature. This weekend, a big-time matchup for you guys obviously is – the defensive front for the Denver Broncos and all the different looks. How's that preparation going for that? How different is that when you get a defense that's going to be so multiple? What does that look like this week for y'all?
We just got to follow our rules. I'll say in the running back room, we just got to follow our rules. If we got to scan, we got to scan. If we got to saw, we got to saw. If our man go take us to our man, they do a lot of blick zero when they need it, when crunch time, they do a lot of blick zero. So just keep your eyes up and studying that protection. They throw a lot of stuff at you. Be a lot of guys coming from different places. They got a lot of good guys on that defense.
All right, Woody, we appreciate you giving us your time. Before we let you go here, man, I want to know, man, how many people don't call you Woody? Who calls you by your government name? How many people actually go past Woody? Is it Mama? My mom still calls me Ronald, and I'd like to ask her not to. But how many people still call you by your government name?
That's a funny question. I haven't kind of called Jaquavius since I think like elementary school.
Damn. Elementary school, so that you just been Woody straight up then, huh?
Yeah, I've been to Woody. Yeah.
That's interesting. All right, man. We appreciate you joining us, man, and good luck, man. And we've really enjoyed watching you this rookie season, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Woody Marks, who has not been called by his government name since elementary school.
Been a while. We had him on a post-game show in the preseason, and I remember hearing that story, and not asked the way that you did. I don't know. I'm shocked that grandma or somebody,
I'm telling
a distant
you,
uncle or something.
I ain't calling you. I'm not calling you ass Woody.
I mean, yeah, anything other than Woody, you can go with anything. Yeah, that's a little bit of a shock there.
No, man. How, speaking of him, man, and we look at this game that, by the way, the Texans are 1.5-point favorite at home against the 6-2 Broncos. How big do you think Woody Marks is in this game coming up?
Well, I mean, Ron, I'd like to – this is another question I'd like to ask him, but we didn't really have time to get into it. I would like to think that he's going to play a big part. But, I can't understand for the life of me how one game it seems like it's a heavy dose of Woody Marks in the pass game, the run game, and then one game it's like he disappears. And, look, I understand that some games you don't run as many plays and – I would understand if Woody couldn't pass protect and, you know, if they were taking advantage of him in the game, but they don't. And so I would like to be able to answer that question. I'll be honest with you. I think at this point, I think it's a huge mistake, you know, when there's, you know, for any reason other than Woody is just is physically whipped and doesn't have the juice and needs a break. I mean, anything else, I don't know how you get the guy off the field, whether it's, you know, he showed that ability to bounce that ball outside on that inside run where he bounced it outside for a good run last week. Obviously, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and make guys miss. And, I mean, he's the only guy on this offense. Now, with Nico coming back, then it changes a bit. But he's the only guy on this offense last week that every time he touches the football run, I sit on the edge of my seat. I think there's a chance that he might bounce this one. He might cut back across the grain. He might make a guy miss and go get us 15 or 20 extra yards. He's that dude. And so I just don't know how you justify taking him off the field unless he just physically can't go and needs a break. So I would like to think that we're going to see a lot of Woody Marks moving forward.
Yeah, major impact in the last game, right?
Yep,
I mean, yep. Running the football. I mean, who knew that he was going to look more like Christian McCaffrey did than Christian McCaffrey did, yeah. Right? He's over 60 yards rushing and has 50 yards receiving in that game. So you would think, yeah, that he would be a major part. But to your point is that maybe kind of goes into that game plan offense that they run. That it is surprising to me that sometimes the game plan offense not only is this is what we're going to attack, but sometimes it seems like the game plan offense also includes – people and players,
yeah.
like certain players like that. We are like, even if you're in a game plan offense, I would think that Nico, I think right now today, Woody Marks, Dalton Schultz, those three guys would be guys that whatever the game plan is, it may, you know, change, but it still shouldn't include those guys, yeah, being a major impact.
I mean, if you look at the remarks that have been made by everybody involved following games where, you know, some of those things could be in question, there's clearly not a concerted effort to get one particular player the ball over the other. I know,
even Nico.
I mean, D'Amico Ryans has got defensive about the Nico Collins question, but like just throwing the ball his direction is not what I'm talking about, right? I mean, when I'm talking about getting guys involved is, you know, Nico Collins should be involved in the screen. He should catch one or two screens every game. He should be involved in the play action game. As you see, he is involved quite a bit. If you're going to take a shot, you should find a way to get him deep. He's the guy that can go make big plays. And you know, he should be involved in that wide receiver run game if you do have that in the system. I mean, in the game plan. So, you know, big picture, you look at that and you go, yeah, it should happen every game. Well, that's sporadically throughout the season. And you look at Woody Marks. I mean, since they – what game was that at home? Was it the Tennessee game?
Tennessee is the breakout game. He had multiple touchdowns.
I mean, you look at that game in itself. I mean, any – just football 101, you go, we got to get that guy more touches. We got to get him in the game so that we can get the ball to him in the pass game as well as in the run game. And we found something. Let's use that guy moving forward. And then, you know, the next game he disappears and doesn't have as many touches and does it. Now, again, I understand you're facing different circumstances.
Yeah, seven touches the next game.
Yeah, so, I mean, that is like
24 yards.
After that Tennessee game, I'm going to go to Woody Moore. My next game plan is without a doubt, how many especially with guys that are injured, how many different ways can I get Woody Marks touches in a game?
He's going to
have seven rushes himself.
He went from 21 touches against Tennessee where he had 69 yards rushing and a touchdown, and then he had four catches, 50 yards, and a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, 100-plus total yards.
To seven carries.
You spoke of Christian McCaffrey. Those are Christian McCaffrey-type numbers.
To seven carries for 24 yards the next game.
Yeah. I mean, that is my complaint with this game plan offense. And the interesting thing is when you ask these guys about it, you know, they'll try to convince you that they are getting those guys ball. You know, that kind of deal. So I personally think that's one thing that, like, D'Amico, in a sense of D'Amico getting – what does D'Amico Ryan's offense look like moving forward, whether it's Bobby Slowick or Nick Cayley or whoever it may be. Like, one of those things that D'Amico has to get a good understanding for whoever's calling plays for his squad is we've got to get guys that have the hot hand and guys that have unique skill sets and the ability to to be explosive, we got it. You got to focus on getting them touches. You just simply can't afford not to. Now, there may be a year where D'Amico builds an offensive system, like the roster, where it don't matter who you throw it to. You got Diggs over here. You got Tank Dell over here. You
just
got Nico
the open
Collins
guy.
Over, then you can,
because they all open. Yeah.
Well, then you can go. Well, hey man, I understand the balls go around. Like it's hard. It's hard to think there ain't enough balls to go around with this squad right here. You ought to really be able to dial in on some of your top playmakers, and I think Woody's one of those guys. So we'll see.
Well, speaking of the person who is in charge of trying to get the footballs to everybody that needs to get there, I got
get
you.
The
Tyler.
Balls to him, man.
I
get
got
the balls
you.
No, to him.
The footballs to everybody.
Grab yours and get thee to them.
Is Nick Cayley just? It just really just went for it, didn't you? Nick Cayley, we'll hear from him as he spoke to the media, and we'll get his thoughts on this upcoming game and how well they played last week. Nick Cayley coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, boy, here we go. If you are riding around listening to us, you better make your way on out here to Buffalo Wild Wings, Cypress, off US 290. Get out here. Not only do we have a prize, HEB, we'll do that coming up in the next hour. We've got some Bud Light swag as well to hook you up with. This is hot off the presses. I'm telling you right now, if you're in the building, you want to come over here and get you a ticket for your chance to win. I just got this, and I just want to make sure this is right. I just got this. We have two separate four-packs of tickets. That's eight tickets total. Two separate four-pack of tickets to Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. I know I saw somebody texting in yesterday, how can we win those tickets? Are we doing tickets? No, we hooked you up on a ticket Tuesday, but now – we are really hooking you up. You got a chance to take three of your friends if you win. You got to be in the building, and you got to put your name in our raffle box. We got a ticket right here you can get. So if you're here, you may want to do so. If you're on the way, come right up. You'll see the big white box and grab you a ticket. Again, four tickets, two set of four packs to see the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans at NRG, and they lower bowl now.
Yes!
That is the information that I'm getting. You can win those in the 5 o'clock hour, so you got some time to get in here and win those. So you don't want to miss that. This Thirsty Thursday just got taken up another level. All right, there are eight tickets to the game on Sunday. That's amazing. So get in here and get your name in our raffle box to give yourself a chance. Let's head to NRG and hear from the offensive coordinator. He is as talked about as anybody in the organization. Nick Cayley, here's his presser with the media.
Broncos and the way that they attack the pocket, what are some things that generally you can try to do to counteract a team like that that's really has a lot of offenses back on their heels all year?
Yeah, be coordinated. Be on the same page, stay inside out, strain like hell, and play within the timing of the offense.
It seemed like last week you had a pretty good beat on what Saleh was calling and things of that nature, and putting your players in position to be able to make something explosive. What kind of gave you that rhythm throughout the game?
I mean, I think it's a testament to the players. We were able to execute the game plan. We were able to make positive plays. We were able to stay on track, get the run game going. You know, I think that opens up a lot of different things. Guys made plays, and proud of the way we competed. So I think it's just, staying the course, and playing efficient football and complementary football within our side of the ball.
Can you talk about just the success you guys have had using Fisher in that package?
Sure, yeah. Blake's done a good job for us. You know, there's a lot of carryover in terms of the way we hit blocks at tight end or angle drives. So whether you're a tackle, whether you're a tight end, whether you're a guard, we speak the same language in terms of our run game fundamentals, our core blocks, reach blocks, cutoff blocks, angle drive blocks. He's obviously a part of gap double teams and combination blocks. You know, if it's a tram block with the tight end and he's a tackle, he's the inside element. Now he's the outside element. But the footwork and the technique is consistent. He's done a really good job just embracing it and getting better, and he's really helped us. You know, I'm proud of the way he's competed. See, it's been a nice niche for him and for us. And, you know, he's done a good job. He's even got some shifts out there. We get him moving across the line of scrimmage and stuff, or, you know, across the ball and stuff like that, too. So, you know, he's helped us. He's an unselfish guy.
What kind of sparked the idea for that package? You said that that it kind of came in like right before the Tennessee game.
Yeah, I mean, I think just, you know, we always have that. You're always keeping that in your back pocket. You never know. Injuries happen. Things happen throughout the flow of a game. So you're always prepared to have some guys ready to be in that jumbo role. That's a spring and a training camp discussion. And then, you know, you never want to have to, you know, it come up and use it when you're not prepared to do it. So we prepare that in training camp. And then obviously depth situations, where the roster is, stuff like that, you try to, you know, utilize that to offset maybe any, you know, being thin at any certain positions.
Are there any challenges that come with like Kirk and Nico coming back? Obviously that's good, but sure, the guys got it going on Sunday, so it not kind of being able to blend all that in and not have the, you know, it come at the sake of like Noel or Higgins, who seem to be fun in their
group. Yeah, I mean, look, we're happy that they're back. We're excited that they're back. You know, the other guys, everybody stepped up and did a great job too. We have a lot of faith. We have a deep wide receiver room that are continually getting better, and so we have faith in all those guys. But yeah, we're glad to have Nico and CK back out there, and the other guys keep going at the same, you know, continuing to improve. And I think the more we're out there, the more we have an opportunity to really, you know, build cohesiveness together as a group. And, you know, again, we got a pretty deep receiver room, so we're lucky for that, and, you know, definitely thankful we get these two guys back too to join us.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley.
Outside looking in before you got here, the way that he played on Sunday, is that what you envision him to be?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a competitor. He played really efficient football, threw the ball in rhythm, on time, accurately, made plays with his legs, did a lot of great things. You know, you see that from afar, but, you know, when we go out there and we're, again, staying on track and doing those things, I mean, shoot, he can, sky's the limit for him. And I believe that, and I'm proud of the way he competed. Really did. He had a really consistent demeanor like he always does, but it all came together and we played a clean game.
What makes that Denver defensive front such a challenge?
Yeah, they play with great energy. They're tough. They're physical. They don't stop. They're relentless. Well-coached unit, and I mean, they're deep too. So, you know, you gotta buckle up, and it's gonna be a 60-plus minute game, and you gotta play with great technique. And if you know you don't, you get exposed for teams like that. They're not just in the run game. They obviously can rush the passer and do those things. So, a really talented front, really well coached. And again, they play with their ears pinned back and their hair on fire.
What's the balance in trying to replicate some of the things you all really did well, but also kind of anticipating that the opposing team might have game plan for it or might try to take it away?
Yeah, I think you're always trying to be specific to whoever your opponent is. So, again, I think, DJ, if I'm not mistaken, you had asked the question relative to just game planning, coverage and stuff. I mean, it's the same thing, whether it's front structures, whether it's personnel-related matchups, et cetera. So we have our core, you know, call it core run game plays, our core, you know, quicks, dropbacks, et cetera. But then you're always evolving. You're always adding game plan elements to, you know, whether it's early down, situational football, et cetera. So the balance is you want to be able to, you know, utilize things to your strength, but you also have to attack coverages and personnel and front structures as well. So we're always trying to do that from week to week, you know, no matter who we play, really.
It seems like across the league, a lot of the smarter offenses are using that extra offensive tackle. What specifically is causing, what are OC seeing from the defense that's making them think, all right, let's bring an extra offensive tackle? It's a light box. Like, what exactly is leading?
Yeah, I think it's different depending on who you ask. I mean, there's some teams that, you know, carry two tight ends on an active roster. There's some teams that carry four. There's some teams that, you know, maybe have a guy, you know, every place is a little different. I don't want to speak on any other teams. I would just say, like, you know, it can help you in certain areas, whether it's run game related, whether it's pass game related, whether it's health related and depth related. So again, you know, I think Blake has really just picked it up a little bit, especially last game. There was an uptick, but again, that's week to week really, and what we're trying to do and what we're establishing as well. But I've been pleased with him. You know, from our standpoint here, I've been pleased with him, and he's ready to go if we need him.
Because I know where you came from as far as your previous stops in New England and in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Can he catch?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's okay. So work in progress. We got him on the jugs. I'm just joking. I tell him to get on the jugs. So no, he's coachable. And he's got a joy about him. But, you know, best part I like is, hey, when we call a Y shift and he goes around across the ball and, you know, does it actually pretty damn good. So, but we have fun with it, you know. And, you know, Cole and Jens with the line, and there's carryover too with Jake and, you know, myself. We got to, you know, we have fun with those guys. And they do so much work together, you know, in individual. There's some crossover. So, you know, he's ready whenever we need him, and you know, thankful for the way we got to obviously use him last week especially.
Do you think that you need to maybe mix things up with him so that it doesn't seem like the team's always like, oh, well, the other, you know, you're telegraphing when he's in there? Is there a need for that?
I mean, sure. I mean, if you build high enough tendencies, but, you know, again, this is a week-to-week deal. So, you know, we'll see if that how that accumulates over time. But, yeah.
Dalton Schultz, they're hoping, D'Amico said, to get him back here late in the week. Didn't practice today, but how do you feel about the tight end depth and your contingency plans, some guys that can play fullback and tight end if you have to move somebody up?
Well, we got a good room of really smart, hardworking guys. They're all versatile. They're cross-trained. You know, some people say fullback. Some people say, you know, F. Y. It's F and Y. I mean, those guys are interchangeable. They're all cross-trained. We do that from the time we get here to spring because things like this happen, you know, and you lose guys. It's the National Football League. So got a lot of faith in them. They're tough. They're smart. They're hardworking. They're always prepared. They're ready to back each other up. And I got a lot of faith in those guys. And Jake Moreland does a good job with those guys.
About discipline with CJ from the quarterback spot. What kind of is discipline? Is that just what the defense is available?
Sure.
You know, hitting a deep shot when it's there, not trying to force things. What kind of is discipline to the quarterback?
Just really working within the frameworks of our offense. So if you're talking about going through your progressions, being consistent with that, taking what they give you, being able to know where your play ops are, where your matchups are on the field, being able to execute the line of scrimmage communication, whether it's an audible, whether it's doing those certain things to get us into favorable positions too when they present themselves. There's a lot of things that really require, but it's just being focused in the moment one play at a time and being able to execute the play to the best of his ability, and I thought he did a really, really good job of that.
With Patrick Surtain out for this week, forgive us for not knowing who's the next guy up, but what does that rest of that defense and that position look like?
Competitive, aggressive. They try to get on you and challenge things down the field. And I think that, you know, with or without him, I mean, they're a really, really well-coached defense. I mean, you look across the board at all three levels, you know, they have really good players, and they play really hard, and you can see that on tape. It's pretty evident. So, you know, got a lot of respect for them, Vance and those guys as well.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley.
The difference in this offense when the offensive line is playing at its best, what do you feel like is the key for them to maintaining that consistency from week, even when the competition steps up?
Yeah, I think just playing with good technique and fundamentals and starting the game the right way and starting each drive the right way and being coordinated with each other. And again, it all starts with communication. You know, we set the table and we're all seeing it through the same set of eyes from a protection standpoint, from a run game standpoint. When we're on and we're working together, you know, in unison, you can see some really positive things happen, and they're continuing to improve. So I've been happy with that. That's just the way we got to play. You know, when you get tired, especially, that's where your technique will shine. You know, you put a lot of reps into that. And so just being consistently good down after down and being at our best, that's what we need. And, you know, I think you saw that this past weekend. We just got to keep getting that, you know, from week to week.
You got an opportunity to carry over momentum and get up to 500 against a good team. Y'all had that opportunity against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
What did you take away from that? And do you feel more confident that y'all will be better equipped to reach that goal this time?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we didn't play a good football game, obviously, not to relive that game, but we didn't play a very good football game that game. From an execution standpoint, too many mistakes, too many self-inflicted wounds, and that's not how you can't play against every team's good in this league. You can't play that way against teams in this league. So coming back from that week, we got to start the game the right way. We got to not hurt ourselves. We got to go out and play and execute the game plan the way we want to execute it, and across the board, all of us. And I think that's the thing that, you know, you put a good week in. We've had really good weeks of practice. I think I alluded to that then, but just continuing to build that, starting on Wednesdays and, you know, Thursday, you know, so on and so forth. And I think that's the thing, is starting the right way, playing with good technique, being consistent, and being able to obviously finish drives, you know, and drive the ball and finish. That's the key.
Woody says that two running backs that he patterns his game after is Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara. Can you see that trajectory for him?
Yeah, Woody is a very talented player. I think you can see that. He can do a lot of things with the ball in his hands. He's a good runner. there's some runs he makes, man. I'm like, I have no clue how he got through there. I mean, just the bend, the elusiveness. He's got great wiggle. And then, you know, he can catch the ball and he can make people miss in space. So, you know, he's getting better every single game, every single week. And I think we just keep it in that, you know, wheelhouse. And, you know, again, back there with Nick too. And what a great guy to be able to, guy that's got a lot of, done a lot of good things in this league that's just steady and consistent every single day. So, you know, we got a good room. Woody's continuing to work hard and, you know, got a lot of faith in him too. Thank you guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nick. That was the OC, Nick Caley. And I know, I believe, Clint, Nick Caley's pressure, this was the same with Bob last year too. I feel like you look forward to his press conference just to hear what he is – what he's thinking, what he's going to say, as much as anybody else that we hear each and every week.
Yeah, look, I think there's, you know, when D'Amico speaks, D'Amico is representing an entire organization. When Nick Caserio speaks, they're representing an entire organization and several branches of that organization. And so it's broader generalizations. It's you know, taking up for everybody, protecting everybody, covering your own tail, and fighting the media and all that kind of job. And so, I just think when the further you get down the food chain, Nick Caley's responsible. No, I'm not. But Nick Caley gets down, you know, get down the food chain. He's responsible for the offense. I think it's more difficult for him to talk in circles. It's more difficult for him to bull jive and kind of mislead. And then obviously it gets down to CJ, and it's really hard for CJ to do that because we're watching him play and he's the one out there getting the hell beat out of him or throwing touchdowns. And, you know, so it's the further down the food chain you get, I think the less muddy the water gets. And so it's a lot better. Listen, even if, like, if, you know, that happened last year with Bobby, and it's happening again this year with Nick Caley. Is you know, the blaming things on poor execution and blaming things on technique and mechanics, blaming things on guys. Oh, we had a great week of practice, but then we got out there on Sunday and we did, like, even that stuff that gets real repetitive, I think is really valuable. Because I'd argue, look, the most important thing for a coach is if whatever you're doing, I don't care how smart you are, if you can't communicate it to your players to where they can then take it to the game field, then you're not a very good coach, and you're not going to be around very long.
Let's react to him. Let's react to some of what Nick Caley had to say, because he brought up a lot of different things in there, from Blake Fisher's usage to Woody Marks to a lot of different things in there. Well, let's do that as we continue right here live on The Drive.